here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello. Today is Friday, October 14th, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories.
Yeah, so obviously this week's biggest story, and what I'm assuming we're spending the whole episode on, is the Cubs advancing to the National League Championship Series in rather dramatic fashion when they came back from four runs down in the ninth inning.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I wish this was a sports podcast.
It is
just
not.
Kidding. I'm not that into sports.
I also said last week that we aren't going to be covering Cubs playoff baseball the whole time.
So this is a finance podcast, and we do have some actual business-related stories to discuss this week. So let's shift to that.
Yeah,
so,
we could do business-related stories like we do every week. And speaking of things we do every week, the first story we're going to cover is
our favorite pharma company.
Our favorite horrible, awful, fraudulent pharmaceutical company, which is...
Side note. Okay, I have a story. Quick story.
Okay.
I picked up one of my prescriptions this week and noticed that, like, the drug had changed. The same drug, but a different brand. And it was from Mylan.
Oh,
and I was like... Oh, I know what you did.
So in case you guys didn't pick up on it, yes, we are talking about Mylan again. Yes, we are talking about the EpiPen's price hiking scandal again. I think this is the fifth time we've mentioned it.
Fourth or fifth time
we've mentioned it on the show. Because they're still making news about it.
Mm-hmm.
This week, maybe getting closer to a conclusion. Because on Monday... shares of the pharmaceutical company, the controversial pharmaceutical company, I should say. I don't know what other adjectives would be good. Embattled.
I feel like that makes them too much a victim.
Yeah.
Embattled.
Yeah. We've really, our opinions have, I remember the first time we mentioned this and we were trying to really just toe the middle line on it. Yeah. But as the developments keep breaking, I'm just like really sick of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And definitely over Mylan. Anyway, getting to the story. Shares of Mylan were up about 8.5% Monday morning to kick off the week because the drug maker agreed to pay $465 million in order to settle charges that they overcharged the government for the EpiPen auto-injector. So basically, this is stemming from... you know, there's not a ton the federal government can do about drug price hikes right now, but they can say, hey, those federal programs that we bought EpiPens for, you know, whether it be Medicaid or I guess you're talking about the VA would be involved in that too. You know, you were intentionally overcharging us for that. And we're the U.S. government, so we're not happy
about it.
So $465 million, I think investors were responding positively to this because it seems like a rather small price tag if they can get out of this whole controversy for less than half a billion. And it's also just a sign that this is wrapping up finally, which should bring some confidence back to the stock.
Definitely.
So Heather Bresch, our favorite pharmacy, who has replaced Martin Shkreli as everyone's least favorite pharmaceutical CEO. I don't want to be too harsh on her. I mean, I don't know her story that well, but we've certainly covered some questionable things she said over the duration of this scandal. So she said, quote, "This agreement is another important step in Mylan's efforts to move forward and bring resolution to all EpiPen auto injector related matters. Entering into this settlement is the right course of action at this time for the company, its stakeholders, and the Medicaid program," end quote. And I could not agree more. I could not agree more. Settlement here. She's basically saying, first step in moving on, which, I think is what I would like to do with Mylan as well. But yeah, and as close as we are to the conclusion of this story, just as a reminder, it isn't over yet. Mylan is still facing an antitrust probe in the state of New York. where that state government is looking into the company in regarding its EpiPens per school program and some non-competitive agreements it made school districts sign. So I guess stay tuned for that. I'm sure we'll throw that.
We'll cover that
if we hear about it, if and when we hear about it, I should say. So yeah, I mean, Mylan again, and now I want to shift to another story that we've covered several times, and that has to do with the latest on the Twitter buyout rumors.
Yes, so Twitter is officially that kid in middle school at a dance against the wall, and no one wants to dance with them.
Wah, wah, wah. So sad.
So, well, yes, a little funny though. So on Monday, shares of Twitter took a really sharp nosedive. They were down over 13.5% in morning trading after Bloomberg reported over the weekend that potential bidders, aka Disney, Salesforce, and Alphabet Inc.'s Google division, all rumored bidders, but still bidders nonetheless, they're completely backing off.
JK.
They don't want to do it yet. Hashtag LOL, hashtag just kidding. So these three companies are all unlikely to continue to pursue a bid to buy Twitter, according to Bloomberg. But in light of this development, Twitter is now set to focus its energy into its live video streaming partnerships. So,
oh, great.
So the not quite successful live video streaming partnerships that they're going to focus on.
Yeah. But, and also, I would just like to say to all the listeners who are going, hey, Ryan and Maddie, didn't you guys just talk about all the pros and cons that Disney and Salesforce and
Google
would have if they bought Twitter a couple weeks ago? And didn't we all agree Twitter's definitely getting bought out soon? Why, yes, we did.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can just forget that ever happened and just pretend like we said a lot of good things about the live streaming. And yeah, this is...
Well, and I don't know what I was reading, where I was reading it, but some publication was saying that if anyone's going to buy Twitter, it might be a private equity firm,
which is a good idea.
It's a good idea. It makes sense.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think that at this point, it does make sense because a private equity firm buying it and then taking it private is going to, at least it has no shareholders that it needs to please anymore. I mean, it doesn't have all this public information.
This pressure.
Yeah, which...
To grow its user base and its user count, which it's not, doesn't really look like it's going to grow.
No.
I mean, maybe.
Well, maybe. Oh. I don't know. At this point, I don't know. It's getting...
But what we do know is that they just weren't that into you, Twitter. They just weren't interested.
Yeah.
You know? They didn't want that number, or they threw your number in the trash.
That's it. I think it was more of a like, they were like, hey, let's go on the first date. And then
they got to know them, got to know Twitter, and wasn't impressed.
Yeah, it was a let's go on the first date, get to the restaurant, order drinks, then have a stark realization that this is not going to work.
It's not going to
and
work.
And so you
out.
Make up, you like, quick, go to the bathroom, text your friend. Call me. I have to pretend like something crazy is happening, and then you get out of there.
It was almost
first impression,
true love,
baby.
But
sad for Twitter.
Tragic.
I feel bad. I feel bad for Jack Dorsey and company. I feel a bit bad that there isn't a mate out there for them. And to continue this relationship metaphor that we've got going on, I want to talk about what could be more happy, positive relationship news, which is the budding romance between Tesla and SolarCity.
Well, not budding, but like it was already there.
Is it in the flowering stage?
Well, it could be a little gross because there's a lot of like...
There's an incestual element to this as well, which we'll touch on.
There's a lot of hidden relationships, if you will.
Yeah.
Hidden sub-relationships.
Okay, we can't just like let the... I can't make the incest comment wait. We have to explain that. The CEO of SolarCity is Elon Musk's cousin. And Elon Musk serves on the
board.
The board of directors for SolarCity.
And is the chairman for both SolarCity and
the
Tesla.
Chairman and CEO of Tesla.
Yes.
So there's a lot of intermingling going on.
That's a good word.
Saying.
That's a good way to put it.
These companies know each other already. This isn't the first date. This is the fifth or sixth. They're dating, maybe.
They're related, but twice removed.
And also, I would just like to say that there are some cultures where marrying your cousin is fine. So, like, before we're too critical on them. But yeah, how about actual things that really happened? On Wednesday, it was announced that Tesla and SolarCity shareholders are set to meet to vote on the merger. So Tesla, it's tough to say exactly when that, I can't remember exactly when the story originally broke. A couple months ago.
It was early this summer.
Yeah.
I want to say in June.
At least a few months ago. Tesla's looking to buy out SolarCity. So that merger, the vote, will take place on November 17th. If you can't make it to the actual physical vote, which I have a feeling not a lot of people will, you are able to vote online by phone or email anytime.
Yes.
On.
Shareholders will be able to.
Yes, if you own shares in the companies. That's on November 16th. So soon, next month, we will see whether this gets shareholder approval, and then it'll obviously move on to the regulatory approval process. So this is all news in a filing this week. In the same filing, it was noted that the price was finalized, if you will. So each SolarCity share will receive 0.11 Tesla shares upon the closing of the transaction. So that's what the vote is on, which is unchanged. So we just have unchanged from what we were hearing in previous filings. So we've agreed on that price. And then what else do we got? Okay, so Tesla shareholders as of September 23rd are going to be receiving the voting materials in the mail. So,
And just to recap, when the story first broke, investors and analysts, they weren't too excited about the merger.
Yeah. So,
because of the intermingling.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess so. Tesla and with its, and we've said this before, is that right now Tesla is more of a battery company than it is a car company.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really a revolutionary take by me, but you know, with its battery technology, it does make sense that they team up with a solar energy company.
Yeah.
Or you know, it's not too difficult to see how that integration would work out. I think that though, it's really easy for shareholders to go, I wonder why you picked this one. I wonder why this is the one we're going after. But at the same time, you know, it's not necessarily a sketchy thing. It's like, of course, Elon Musk would want the company that he's familiar with, knows the inner workings of, has a good working relationship with executives. It seems like more of a natural transition. They've partnered up before, worked on a couple of things. There was like a battery deal between the two of them, but then it turned out Tesla's batteries didn't work great with SolarCity's like panels that they were originally intending to have them work on. So maybe it'll be good for the companies. Yeah. We'll
and
see
Elon
how the
Musk
vote works
like,
out.
I feel like, is certainly frustrated with, I guess, investor hesitation, because he is like, well, this has been on our website. This has been part of my vision for the past 10 years.
His, what is it called?
Master Plan Part 2.
Yeah, that's the thing, though, is Elon Musk, I feel like, gets frustrated when anyone disagrees with him. So
that's fair.
I think Musk, I'm saying this with all due respect, definitely has a lot of confidence in his own intelligence and abilities. We'll see how that works out. Hopefully that's a better relationship than, I'm happy that they maybe found some romance when Twitter was left lonely. We're going to move on to our main story this week, and it has to do with the presidential debates. We're going to talk politics, right? No, we're not going to talk politics at all, actually. But there was some interesting information that came out from the debates this afternoon.
Yeah, so according to a new report from Wired, debate content accumulated a total of 124 million views on YouTube, which is Alphabet Inc.'s video platform.
Mm-hmm.
So in comparison, the debate saw about maybe half of that.
Just about half.
Just about
million.
Half for television, on television.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the first debate on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Second debate, I was at a friend's house. We watched it on cable, on television.
Mm-hmm. I watched it on PBS. But, yeah, I guess, I mean, our two anecdotal experiences don't really contribute
just
much
saying.
Here. Because 124 million people watched also debate content on YouTube, went to YouTube for debate content. So we should mention YouTube's live stream is mostly what we're talking about here, which YouTube also gave Wired a little bit more information about some analytics from that live stream. The average viewer watched for 25 minutes.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, 25 minutes before you go,
I'm good.
No, thank you. You know, YouTube is obviously a little bit easier to find short clips, highlights, summaries. It seems like a good source for people who, like we just said, don't want to commit to the whole debate.
Right.
But still want to stay informed, still want to be there at the water cooler the next day talking about it. So all in all, viewers watched a total of 2.5 million hours of YouTube's live stream, which is pretty crazy to me. That's a lot of hours.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of days if I'm doing my multiplication right. And then on top of that, also, I want to mention Twitter's live stream gathered about 3.2 million people and Facebook's live broadcast, which I think was in partnership with ABC News.
Oh, yeah.
Garnered about 7.4 million views. So total on the internet, people went to YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook for well over 130 million views worth of content was watched on those social media platforms, which YouTube obviously being more of a video platform, I'm lumping it into social media though because of the social interaction that it includes, which I think sparks a conversation about cord cutting and live streaming that I think we should have. So YouTube has certainly invested a lot of money and time and energy into boosting its live stream platform over the last year or two. It's a relatively new thing on as far as YouTube goes. So is this a viable option for cord cutters? Or, I don't know if viable option is the right way to say it. Or is this something that if you're cutting the cord, you're going, I've got Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and
right.
YouTube?
I think so. Like YouTube doesn't really offer as like a standalone service. I would not subscribe to it. I guess I would use
Well, there is YouTube Red now too, which is
right.
a good point.
$9.99
a month. That's more for music fans though, I think is what they pitched.
Okay.
That
yeah, and YouTube does have some original content.
Mm-hmm. They're getting that was part of the YouTube Red
right.
announcement was also, hey, we're investing a lot of into original content.
Yeah, but,
or we're paying our content creators to create content for YouTube Red.
Right. And a lot of, so as an option or as an addition, an additional platform for cord cutters to stay current or to stay up to date on current events and news topics, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's free too. So like,
yeah.
It's obviously an option because it doesn't cost anything.
Right.
You get to watch ads. but I guess my question more was like, you know, when you're cutting the cord, are you going, oh,
do I
yeah,
think of
yeah,
YouTube?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking is that it's not something you realize is there until you're like, oh,
it's
hey,
like,
the debate's on YouTube tonight.
It's on,
I guess I can do that.
Yeah. Like YouTube is in the background. So,
yeah.
I mean, I go to YouTube to catch up on late night TV shows
mm-hmm.
or any type of news or Fallon clips and Stephen Colbert clips and Samantha Bee and
really a lot of late night TV clips on YouTube.
Yeah, that's pretty much my go. That's like, that's what I use.
And if you
have,
if you're a fan of the content creators that are on YouTube, there's certainly some really talented creators there that have made a ton of money.
Right.
On YouTube.
That even when I had cable, that's what I was using YouTube for in general. Anyways, so.
This totally reminds me of the conversation we had about Twitter's NFL live streaming when we were talking about Twitter being bought out, is that it's there, it's an option. If someone reminds you that it's an option, or if you're somehow reminded that it's an option, yeah, it's pretty easy to do because it's free and you already interact with the site a little bit, so you know about it or you know how to use it, but it's not, it doesn't right now just immediately pop into your head.
No.
So when I'm thinking about cord cutting, I'm still thinking about Netflix. I'm thinking about, what am I paying to get subscriptions of?
Right. Not something that's
I'm not
free.
Like, oh, I can catch Thursday night NFL games on Twitter. I'm not thinking about that consciously yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has a little bit to do with just recognition and the fact that it's new and it's young still. But you can't deny the numbers. When you've got more people going to get content on YouTube than you do traditional television, that says something about how people consume live news, how people consume live events.
Right. I have a question. So this YouTube stream, was it brought to you, was it brought by YouTube or brought by Bloomberg, CNN? PBS.
So, like I said, the Facebook News one or the Facebook Live broadcast was partnered with ABC. I know that. I don't know if YouTube teamed up with a...
with like a news source kind of thing?
Yeah, because what was the second debate was a CNN debate, right? So, I mean, they're obviously using that feed still.
Okay.
But I don't know if it was in tandem with the company or if it was just like every other channel uses the CNN feed.
Gotcha. Now, I will say that the first debate I watched on YouTube, but on the Bloomberg site, and I noticed that on TV, it'll have dual screens of both candidates and like their reactions to the other candidates' answers. This live stream did not have that.
Really?
Yeah. So I wonder...
a little bit more limited.
A little bit more limited. So when you're talking... I mean, the point of a debate is... obviously to listen to their answers, but also to see the candidates' reactions.
Sure.
So that, I guess, you might have to forego that to watch it on the internet.
Or at least on certain channels.
On certain channels, yeah.
Interesting. So I think the other question that I could think of about this is... what this does show, and like I said, you can't deny the numbers, whether or not you were consciously thinking about it ahead of time or not, what this does show is that people are going to these free, non-traditional sources for live event coverage. And so what that says to me is, do the subscription-based services like Netflix and Amazon that are catering to people that no longer... are huge fans of traditional television services. Yeah. Does that mean they should be paying attention to this and going, okay, when do we incorporate live streaming or live event coverage of some sort into our library, if you will?
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of surprised they haven't gone down that road, but I think that also presents a lot of production issues and hurdles that they don't have to necessarily deal with.
More costs,
yeah. Because if you look at Netflix's newer show with Chelsea Handler, her like late night show, it's on 3 days a week. Like I think it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and it's live, but it's pre-recorded.
Right, like so, you have to stream it at that time. It's like a late night TV show where they record.
So.
And they've been openly reluctant to get into live broadcasting. Reed Hastings has openly talked about how it's not something they're necessarily jumping at.
If Netflix were to ever offer a live stream of a presidential debate, that would be my first go-to.
Yeah, I would trust the quality.
I would get to watch it on my television because I have a Roku set up to my Netflix account. So that would definitely be my go-to. And same with Amazon Prime if they ever did that.
Yeah, it seems like it makes sense. They have Netflix original studio content. How much of a next step is it for there to be Netflix original live content? I don't think it's ridiculous. I mean, people have kicked around the idea of Netflix covering sports, live sports. Something like a presidential debate is up that same alley to me. And like, I've said it 3 or 4 times now already, but you can't deny the numbers. I mean, we're looking at 124 million people going to YouTube for live debate coverage. Attack on a few more going to Twitter and Facebook. Those even make a ton of sense too, because there's that social media interaction. I watched the debate on PBS, but I'm literally sitting on my phone on Twitter the entire time, refreshing my Twitter feed because I like to interact with the people that I follow that are also watching the debate.
Even when I was watching the second debate on television through a cable network, I was on my phone following a live blog of it and just trying to figure out what to make of these answers.
You have to have that outlet for your own opinions, and you have to have that outlet for memes, obviously.
Obviously.
If I hadn't had my Twitter open, how would I ever have reacted to Kenneth Bone, who is now sweeping the nation?
It's America's sweetheart.
Yes. I mean, that's what it's for. I mean, we laugh, and that's funny, especially the Ken Bone situation is funny that we're getting it's humorous. People are enjoying it, but it's also real. It's reality. It's something that's bringing people to Twitter. It's something that's circulating on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's not only can you watch it on YouTube, but you're getting 15 people that you're subscribed to the next day reacting to it on YouTube. So, it's real. It's there. It's the new way of consuming live entertainment. And as if traditional TV didn't have enough to be worried about, their one thing that they can kind of cling to, which is, well, you can't get live sports, you can't get live TV, you can't get live debates. Well, now you can. So, it's again TV, traditional TV outlets, traditional TV networks losing their grip on the traditional aspect of it. Not saying that they can't adapt, not saying that CNN's YouTube channel doesn't have debate coverage on it, which it definitely does.
Well, and now a lot of traditional. So, for the recent MTV VMAs, they also held, I think they've done this for a few years now, but they've not only had the show on their cable network, but also a live stream on their website. You had to have, it doesn't make sense, you had to have a cable, like, subscription. You had to have, like, a login info to view.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's
the
live
stream.
A lot of things.
So, well, that kind of, like, defeats the purpose.
Yeah, jinx.
Oh, you a soda? Is that how it goes?
I say jinx pickle. That's from my father. He said that it was back in the day. It was I owe you a pickle instead of a soda. We're getting off topic.
We are.
I think it's because we've exhausted everything there is to say about this topic. It's interesting. It's something to note. Can't deny the numbers. I've now said half a dozen times, but it's the truth. And something to keep an eye on going forward. There's another debate. Maybe we can all watch it on YouTube together. But as always, thank you for joining us on this week's episode of The Finish Line. Like, subscribe, repost, do whatever you want to do. On the podcast. And if you want our full coverage on all of these stories, you can find the links to the coverage in the accompanying article. Again, thank you for joining us, and we will see you next week.